Information regarding the language of Imam Muhammad, his comments, his dalil on issues and answers from the Islamic perspective. So those of you who have computers, go to New Radio, New Africa Radio, newafricaradio.com, and tune in right there and you'll get more information. If you do not have a Muslim journal, you can contact the Muslim Journal. They are always willing to hear from you as they come out each and every week. And those of you who would like to contact them, you may be able to contact them at 1141 West 175th Street, Homewood, Illinois, 60430. That's Muslim Journal, 1141 West 175th Street, Homewood, Illinois, 60430. Or you can call them at 708-647-9600 for a subscription to the Muslim Journal. Very important that every Muslim in our community gets a copy of Muslim Journal. The history, the information, the concerns, the articles that's in the Muslim Journal are for your edification, and they make a wonderful study for your classroom. Those of you who are going to school or in school and writing papers and essays, the Muslim Journal is a great resource. So I would urge you, you know, that is what it is, urgent. It is urgent that you get a copy of the Muslim Journal and support the efforts of the Mosque Cares. Again, that's 1061 Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. We'll be coming back after station identification, so please stay tuned. And we want to again say Ramadan Mubarak to those of you who just tuned in. This is our month of Ramadan. We're in the section called Out for Forgiveness. And we want to ask our forgiveness of our Lord and forgiveness from you if we have harmed you in any way. We ask the Lord, Allah, to have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and grant us the paradise. We'll be right back, God willing. Keep the faith. Alhamdulillah.
WPAT, Patterson. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim.
This is the national radio broadcast of Imam W.D. Muhammad, part one, that was presented to us October the 5th. So those of you who are present here, stay tuned. Tell someone we're here. We'll be right back. Alhamdulillah. Okay, we want to...
You and our greetings is peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. We always begin with God's name, asking Him for His blessings and hoping that He will accept what we present. We say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And we say Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The praise and the thanks is for God, the Lord, sustainer, and keeper of all the worlds. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem. And the prayers and the peace be upon his noble and generous messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ba'd. The prayers and the peace be on him and what follows of that traditional salutation. We begin by addressing our most important perception of ourselves as believers, and that is the collective life, the life we all share, the common life that we hope will take us always to the common good and not to the fires, the hellfires of our passions. Highly glorified is Allah, who says in our book, our holy book, the Quran, he says, attention, you people, reverence your Lord, the one who created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and caused it to spread forth from both of them, males many and females, and reverence Allah, the one whom you involve, asking one another to respond, and be regardful of female entrusted ties of relationship, and be regardful of female entrusted ties of relationship. Surely at all times, Allah is watching over you. Allah is the name of God for the people of the what we call the Abrahamic faith, the faith of Abraham, also called the heavenly religions by Christians and Jews and Muslims, the heavenly religions. Allah is not the name of any person, human, no object created or existing in the material world. Allah is only the name of God the Creator. We want to address also the soul's inherent value and our belief in angels. From reading sacred scripture, we learn of the belief in angels. In the Quran, we learn at birth, every newborn is assigned two angels. If one angel is given to assist it for the victory in its jihad of moral combat, its other angel is assigned to record its deeds. Record its deeds over the duration of the person's life. This focus on guardian angels speaks to a necessity imposed by nature for bringing imposed upon the souls of human beings by nature to bring souls to accept their own share in the responsibility for the shape and outcome of their lives. Final analysis, not even pointing out Satan as the problem, will excuse any from their inherent responsibility. That is to say, we are born with many rights, but we are also born with responsibility. With responsibility. The government of the United States, the Constitution of this great land, it recognizes this inherent nature or inborn gift from the Creator, God, we call Allah. In Al-Islam or for Muslims. When the government document reads, we hold these truths to be self-evident, and goes on to say that not government, but the Creator endowed or gave certain rights to human beings. They're called inalienable rights. You can't take away. The government took the position that not even the power of government can take away those rights. And it goes on to name those rights. Life. That means the permission to have your own life and not have it in the possession of somebody else. Time, you know, the country tolerated slavery, and slavery took away our life, not only writes, slavery took away our life. We were not free to live our own lives. We had to live the life planned for us by plantation owners, by slave masters. So the document goes on to read, among these, meaning inalienable rights, among these, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. When I was taking a few courses in junior college, I remember reading in one of our texts that the students had, that the pursuit of happiness is understood to mean the right to have property, the right of every citizen of these United States to have property of their own. Now, we know God says to us in our religion, and I'm a student of the Bible as well, and other scriptures too, but mainly concentrating in the Bible and in our holy book, the Quran. And I remember reading in the Bible references to this same inherent right, the inborn nature and its wonderful properties, and how these properties are to be protected by God, Scripture, and the conscious, righteous people, so that no child, no person will be deprived of those rights. And if they ever are deprived, it's the duty of the righteous, conscious people to go to the aid of those persons or individuals who have been robbed of their rights or denied their rights. We come now to human life. Human life, spiritual, psychological, and psychological, or spiritual or psychological dynamics. We read in the dictionary a meaning of dynamics, and I want you to understand this, how I'm using this word, so I'm reading the entry that fits this language that I'm using here now. Dynamics is pertaining to energy, motion in relation to force. Energy, motion in relation to force. Envisioning the conclusion for man's world, we find that the ancient people of religion and the words of the wise, the seers, quote, the seers and the wise, telling us how man's world will come to a conclusion. We see this as wisdom. We see much of it as prophecy. And I won't use any of that language, referring to the end of time, or attempts to give us a picture of the last days. Most of you in church life and in Muslim mosque life, or whatever religion you have, I'm sure you're aware of the different pictures, the many pictures that's given to us in Scripture of the last days. Of natural causes, human life will be pressured into moving forward. Also by the extending or the intensifying of pressure, bringing to bear more pressure behind pressure on life, on human life. Forging a meeting before him, H-I-M, before him. I'm giving you the language of Quran, it says before him, meaning God, before Allah. The expression in the Quranic language is Qadhan, Qadhan. One pressure behind another. pressuring the soul, pressuring the hearts of the people. Sometimes it becomes so unbearable that people won't even give up faith. This is in Scripture. They say, why don't our God come to our aid? Is there a God? They wonder, is there really a God? The pressure becomes so much on them. And then another focus on the dynamics of human survival and progress. That's what this is all about, human survival and progress. It is revealed that this pressure and struggle in the soul will bring human perception to be eye to eye with the fires of hell. And you shall be brought closer and closer, and you shall see hell with clear vision, with sure perception. Correct perception. This is the Quran. But references to this is also in the Bible. In fact, whatever came to us in the Quran, it came to us addressing what had come before to the people called Jews and to the Christians. Correct. Both called by us, but as given to us in our sacred book, the people of the book. The people of the book, meaning the people of Scripture, the Scriptures that were revealed to the prophets, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus Christ, peace be on them all, and the many others that I didn't mention. Though religion has been the world's biggest oppressor, the Quran says religion's merits are more than the demerits. The Quran's fresh air way of addressing prophetic end of time, in quotation, end of time, is intended for the sharpening of human perception. A perception in the intellect regarding the history of religion, how in one hand, religion has been offering charity and giving charity. And in the other, religion has been greedy for power, power even over nations. And continue. Nevertheless, important it is that issue baggers serve themselves well by being conscious of the fact that some scriptures clumsily fabricate a message-bearing cloth as a strategy for survival and also as a strategy of war. These strategic planners in planning the death of brutal governments, brutal, savage governments, also subtly planned a peacetime and a time for discarding their cloth stained with bad blood. Spiritual and social dynamics, rising public awareness and literacy in the public, rising respect in governments for the value of the common citizens in their publics, honoring the equal rights of the common citizen in the life of the state, all of such makes understandable the prophetic Quranic expression, day of religion. In the Quran, the expression, day of judgment, is the same as day of religion. Of sacred scripture, the Quran words read, none can touch it. Speaking of sacred scriptures, none can touch it, meaning none can reach his insights but the purified ones. None can touch it but the purified ones. Most of man's holy scriptures is arduous fitness exercise. Arduous fitness exercise and moral leadership training. Engagers who remain constantly devoted will grow in moral firmness to qualify for a seat at the table of ethics and global rule or order. So the words of God and Scripture are intended to produce a very special leadership for the world.
Right.
But you have to go through arduous training. In world religions, the student will find the most disturbing reading on first sight when you start to read the scriptures.
Yeah.
If you're morally sensitive and curious, you're going to find scripture, the reading of scripture, very disturbing.
Yeah.
On first sight. Our first reading. And on second sight, the most intriguing and productive literary fabrication. That's what you're going to perceive. You're going to be amazed, and you're going to say, oh, this is the most productive literary fabrication I've ever experienced or read. Hence, the Quran's first word, in its revealing itself to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayers and the peace be upon him, the first word is read, quote, read. This word read is prophetic, having to do with all prophecies. Reading can be mentally, morally, intellectually, and spiritually liberating. However, the benefits are expected to open only for the constantly devoted student.
Right.
Regarding using our five senses, which are necessary if we are to gain any knowledge or information. Knowledge and information must come through the five senses.
Right.
I know it's about you perhaps are thinking, well, knowledge is intuitive. That's true. But if you don't use your five senses and work those senses very diligently and constantly, there will be no true intuitive knowledge.
Right.
In fact, some authorities on the psychology of man, they say that really that sixth sense that we come to understand, intuition, inspiration, whatever, is all the senses in one.
Right.
It's the power of the five senses producing one sense or one medium, intuition. Muslims also don't believe that men, Muslims who know their religion, who students of their religion, we don't believe that men or anybody have any power over intuition.
Right.
It's the sacred property of God, and he does not allow us to have command over it. So by using our five senses, we are brought into another dimension, a spiritual dimension that brings information to us without our personal control over it.
Right.
For that reason, we believe in angels. There's a medium working in our life and in the outer world to bring us information. I should say mediums. The one medium is the medium we call an angel. But they are themselves performing different roles. They are many.
Prophet spoke of the five senses to protect us from the harm of Satan, the enemy of mankind, or Shaitan in our religion. He spoke on the five senses because Shaitan, he is the one, Satan, the enemy of all human beings. Why is he the enemy of all human beings? Because human beings in their natural mind and nature, they don't want to dominate or rule anybody.
Right.
They don't want power over people. Satan does. Satan wants to rule everybody.
Right.
And Satan wants power over everybody and every nation. That's Satan. The average human being, we don't want that. Human being in our natural, true nature, we don't want that. So we want what? The sharing of power. The sharing of authority under one authority that we all agree is over all of us.
Right.
And that is God.
Right.
That's what we want. Satan being against that, Satan wants to trick us and deceive us and make us think religion is something different from what our God, the Creator, intended for us.
Yeah. Right.
And Allah, God that is, Most High, He says, never did God prepare something for His messenger or prophet that Satan didn't try to present the likeness of it. So if that is true, then if God produced a Bible, then Satan also wants to produce a Bible. If God produces a Quran, Satan also wants to produce a Quran. And he wants to make so look so much like the one God gave you that you can hardly tell the difference, or the average person will not be able to tell the difference. Regarding love for one another, and we need to love one another. How are we going to survive these schemes, these powerful schemes that's designed to reach the minds and hearts of all people and eventually cause them to deviate from the plan of God?
Right.
How are we going to survive that if we don't love one another?
Yeah.
We have to be strongly bonded together.
Yeah.
And the strongest bond for humans is love.
Right.
Thus God says, love, you should love Muhammad the Prophet, his messenger. You should love him more than you love your own self and your own families.
Right.
Why? Because he is the life, the life that is your salvation.
Right.
Not only in him, but that life, same life, is in all of you, in all of us.
Right.
He is the representative of the life that's in all of us, the life that is our salvation. So we should love him more than we love our own life. Because most of us don't even know or perceive correctly that life in us that is our salvation. It is called Christ nature. It is called Muslim nature. It can be called by other names. But most of us haven't even achieved it. We haven't reached it. We haven't grown upon it. So we live a life that Satan planned for us. Or we live a life of our own whims, imaginations, and impulses. Whatever spirit we come into. And living these lives cheat us out of the precious, sacred life that God created us for. And we should look at these lives that we're living and say, I don't love this life I'm living as much as I love Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because he is your true life and your best life. He is your sacred life. And he works for your liberation, for your salvation. So he said, regarding love and also what we desire for ourselves, wish for ourselves. He said, the Muslim is one who wants for his brother what he wants for himself. The Muslim is one who wants for his brother what he wants for himself. And he warned us that we would not be blessed by God until we want for our brother what we want for ourselves.
Right. All right. Praise be to Allah.
What he said about the five senses? Did he say the five senses are to believe in God or to witness God and to pray, give in charity, fast the month of Ramadan, and make the pilgrimage to the house? That's what he said when he was asked, what is Islam?
Right.
But addressing the five senses, he didn't say that. He said, if you don't use your five senses to take care of your affairs presently and for the future, you are going to lose the ability to benefit from your five senses. Why? Because you're not alone. There's the enemy of all human beings that's been around longer than you have. He's older than you. And wiser in the word in the ways, pardon me, wiser in the ways of the world than you.
All right.
The Bible calls him the most subtle of all the creatures on the earth.
Right.
The most subtle of all the creatures on the earth. That means he's that you are most likely to overlook. His presence and his wisdom keeps him hid from human view. Very hard to find him, very hard to detect him. And his ways of reaching you through your weaknesses are so subtle, so hidden, and so intelligent that the average one cannot withstand him, cannot keep back his advances.
Right.
Hence, the Muslims, we say, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim." I seek refuge with God from the rejected Satan.
Join us next time for the national public broadcast of Deputy Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman. For more on the ministry of Deputy Dean Muhammad, call 1-708-798-6750. All right, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For WDM Publications, call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah. We thank Allah for that great. We'll get part two of that, God willing, next week. In the meantime, we have a guest of ours who we have him via the telephone from the Liberty News and Online Magazine, Mr. Abi H. Munir. He's the co-publisher and chief editor of this great news outlet. And he's going to be bringing us information regarding the tragedy and the tragic events that took place in Pakistan. And there's a press release of the Consulate General of Pakistan, New York, is collecting your generous donations for relief fund for earthquake victims and relief efforts in Pakistan in the following accounts. And we're going to tell you all about that. And the Consulate General encouraged you for your generous donations for President Relief Funds, which remain our topmost priority. For in-kind donations, priority may be given to medicines, antibiotics, fractious kits, surgical kits, wound treatment medicines, tents, and blankets. Alhamdulillah. I'm going to bring him up online, and we're going to bring him online so that we all can hear what he's saying. Okay, so please hold on. Okay, let's bring him up online. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Munir.
Assalamu alaikum, Imam. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Allah is most merciful. We want to thank Allah for your generous support of the great radio broadcast, Al Islam in America. We thank Imam Hafiz Sabr and Brother Tariq Kokar for their support. Whenever we ever reached out, they was always there. And as a matter of fact, they supported this program greatly for our 20th year celebration. So we appreciate them and we appreciate you for coming to the airwaves, and we pray to Allah that we can get your concerns brought to our listening audience. So thank you for once again. I'm going to have Jameer Abu Bakr As-Siddiq. He was in attendance at the Pakistani consulate on, what's that, 65th Street, and between 5th and Madison Avenues this past Thursday, and he should be able to bring us more information. Brother Jamil.
Assalamu alaikum, my brother.
Wa alaikum assalam. How are you, brother?
All right, good to, hear your voice again. I wanted to ask you, I know you want to go into the relief fund to give the information to the people, but before we go there, could we just, hear a little bit about that Liberty News that, you have, so, people could understand, what you're doing with your news?
Well, brother, I just want to say that my country is Pakistan. I was born, bred, and educated in England, and my mother and father are originally from Pakistan in Kashmir. That's the area which has been struck. I moved to New York a little over 20 years ago, and I started a non-profit organization called Help Against Drugs Organization of New York City Incorporated. The theme of that is to help kids, get them involved in sports programs, take them off the street who have been abused. We deal with all ethnicities across the board. We don't deal just because I'm from Pakistan. Don't deal with just people from Pakistan. We deal with everybody who needs our help as humanitarians. The magazine we started a little over 4 years ago. It's called Liberty News. The theme with the magazine was to do something for the community. We teamed up with Grandpa Al Lewis. He's a very famous comedian from the classical 60s series, The Monsters. He's very opinionated, and with him and another 15 people, we put the Liberty News online magazine together. We thought it would be a very good idea to embrace the technology of now, not the future. So we pioneered that. We have one of the largest African-American, Caribbean, Latino readerships on the Internet. We are the USA's fastest-growing online magazine with a distributorship of 1.3 million readers throughout the United States, Latin America, and Caribbean countries.
So, Ms. Manir, into the relief fund, could you tell us about it and what is going on? Because there's so many people out now want to pick up money for this, relief fund. Tell us about the ones that, you think is authentic, so you can tell the people where, if they can send some money, where to send it to.
Well, I just want to start off with, this is the worst tragedy in the history of Pakistan since we got the independence in 1947. Yes, we've had hurricanes, we've had water floods, but never an earthquake. A 7.0 Richter has a very high earthquake. It splits the grounds and so forth, and it's a terrible tragedy which has happened, killing close to 40,000 people, and I think it was close to over 125,000 people and counting who are homeless. They don't have a home. They're on the streets. It's just very, very horrible. My family is doing well. Fortunately, they was on the other side. Nothing happened to them, but I do have friends who have friends who have perished. In fact, I was at the masjid the other night, and the imam was telling us there was a brother who was an imam here in New York. Their village actually completely perished with this earthquake, which split it right through the center, and the water was going in a certain direction, and it turned and completely wiped the village off, and they was raising contributions for that. Now, to answer your question here, Imam, is that there's a lot of people out there who, I would say, Pakistani Muslim organizations or individuals who are out there using the name of this earthquake and of Islam soliciting money. And you got to understand that this money, as a Muslim, within the Ramadan month, it is known as zakat. You have to give it to the needy of neediest. And this is the neediest of neediest case where we have to raise monetary funds and send it to these brothers and sisters. But a lot of them are taking money, and I hate to say this, I know a couple of cases which I heard stories about, who are putting the money in their own pocket. They are soliciting it from people, making stories, using this disaster to line their own pockets, which is terribly, terribly wrong. And of course, it has to be stopped. It really has to be stopped. And the meeting which we had on Thursday at the Consulate General, as you yourself was present, Imam,
yes.
Is that we put a committee together. We had representatives from the Mayor Bloomberg's office, the Commissioner of Immigration, Mr. Gilberto Linares, was there, union leaders, the Honorable Dr. Kendall Stewart. And the theme of the meeting was, as Brother Tariq Koka, the President of the Pakistani Day Parade, and Hafiz Sabah, for the imam for the Makki Masjid with over 2,000 Muslims who read prayers daily at the Coney Island Mosque. And many, many, many more community leaders from the Pakistani community were there to support, was that we need to have a watchdog committee. A watchdog committee, what we want to do with is, which I also am on, is that we want to monitor different organizations, predominantly Pakistani organizations, who are raising money for this cause. And we want to know, did this money, after it's been solicited and given to these people, is it going to individuals who basically are saying, yeah, we're receiving the money, it's coming to us, or yes, we're not receiving it, we don't know where it's going?
Alhamdulillah. Yes, we understand that. Can you hear me?
Yes, I do, brother.
Okay, very good. Alhamdulillah. That seems to be the problem that happens with each and every issue or case or disaster that happens. Recently, similarly, with the Red Cross, the relief agency, with the hurricanes, Katrina and Rita, they had the same problem. Unfortunately, we have those kind of people in the world. That with a watchdog committee, alhamdulillah. But what can our people, what can they do, now that you got them on the line, you know, what can they do to support those efforts, and where do they send legitimate funds to legitimate organizations? Because we know you are legitimate, okay? And we can say we certify you with our listening audience. So you tell us what to do.
Where to send it? You know, I have the National Bank of Pakistan, but give the people, you know, different addresses.
Or
where
what?
To...
What? Give us one place that we can, to whose attention we can monitor that.
Well, the thing is, brother, yes, you have a lot of, even a lot of the big organizations. I don't really want to mention a lot of the large relief organizations which have been around for years. The reason for that is I don't want to pinpoint anybody. I've worked with some of them, and I know how they raise money and what their practices are. What I'm going to tell you, it might even shock you, and I hope it doesn't turn turn you off for contributing to these organizations. Every time you donate a dollar, 75% of the monetary fund goes towards administration costs.
Yes.
That's administration costs, brother.
I heard you.
And the 25% gets to these disaster reliefs or people or whatever the tragedy happens to be. So I've raised thousands of dollars for the Ethiopian Appeal Fund when they had the droughts in England. Recently, the floods in Guyana. We raised thousands of dollars. My policy basically is with our organization, the Help Against Drugs Organization of New York City Incorporated, is to raise the money and take every penny which is raised and send it to people who need it. So out of every dollar which is raised, you're talking most of it going towards the people who need it. Then